The Morning Blend, a triple shot of Catholicism, conversation, and coffee. David and Brenda start your day with a fresh cup of joy and inspiration, whether it's through interviews, news, music, or prayer. It's all viewed through a Catholic lens. It's The Morning Blend, on the bridge between your faith and everyday life. Mater Dei Radio.
And a very good Friday morning to you, June 18th, 7 a.m. Brenda and Aaron with you on The Morning Blend. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a great week having you with us,
Good
Aaron.
Good morning. It's Friday.
It's a Friday. You've been working for the weekend, getting up early. You are looking forward to a long sleep in tomorrow, I have a feeling.
My habits have been, I'm staying up later than I should be for getting up in the morning show, so yeah.
See, that's it. If you stay up too late, you get into watching a show, you start talking, you're reading, whatever, and then before you know it, you know, for me, if I see the clock say 10 o'clock, I know I'm going to be tired in the morning. I should be already in dreamland by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, see, so. I've been staying up past 10 every night this week, so... Getting in here at 5:30 makes that a little bit of a shorter night. But hey, it's all good.
It's all good.
That's
so
what
again,
coffee's for, and the sun is shining. It's another beautiful day. No complaints.
No complaints at all. That's right. Well, David will be back on Monday.
That's right.
So it's just been a great week having you with us.
Yeah,
so thank you so much. So Aaron, we have a hot weekend coming up. It's the first day of summer.
That's right.
Summer starts actually it's a little bit late. I checked this out. It's at 8:31 p.m. on Sunday. That's official solstice. Mm. It's going to feel like summertime all day long.
Warmer before that though.
And here's what's weird, and we're going to talk more about this in news. Mm-hmm. We've got an issue with our water in the area and a shortage coming up. So we're going to talk about that. Actually, it's kind of like right now, and it has to do with chlorine. But on those hot summer days in Texas, where you're from, I know you're from, what do you do to keep cool?
Anything you can do to stay in the air conditioning.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is, everything has air conditioning there. It's not like here where some homes have it, some don't. Some apartments have it, some don't. Every building has air conditioning there because it's in the summertime there. It's 90 degrees at 5 in the morning.
Oh.
So, and, you know, humidity is killer. So, at least in the central part and especially along the Gulf Coast there. So, yeah, everything has air conditioning.
Oh.
You get acclimated to it if you're outside, or you find ways to be inside, or you go near water.
Like right.
The lakes, the rivers.
So fortunately for us here, and I've been kind of checking the weather, it cools off every night. I mean, even during this hot streak that we have coming up over the weekend, we're still going to drop into the 60s overnight on those days.
Nice cool evenings.
So here's the thing. We get up early. You know, of course, I still always get up early. We open up the house in the morning and let it get cold. And even like the kids get up on the mornings like, why is it so cold in here? And I said, don't worry. It's going to be all right.
I know where you're going with this. Because then at 10 o'clock, you shut all the windows and trap the cold air.
Just as you know, we kind of keep an eye on the temperature gauge. And right when the temperature starts to get, you know, you can see it start ticking up.
Yeah.
We shut it all down.
Trap the cold air in there.
And then you trap the cold air in. And the great thing is we've noticed a difference. We've gotten a new roof in our house. We've also put some new windows in last year. It has sealed up our house really good. And we can keep it cool like that. For up until a good part of the afternoon, and then finally it's the upstairs, though, that'll always be the first to get it, and it starts getting hot. So definitely want to stay cool.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Take care of your pets and make sure they have a place to get out of the beating sun and keep water going for them.
Yep.
Keep your plants. I would say go out and water your plants really good, but boy, coming up in news, there's something about an issue with chlorine and a call to kind of settle things down. So much going on.
Yeah, there is a lot
happening. And of course, it's a Friday. So what else do you got coming up today?
All kinds of things. The USCCB continues their meeting, finishes up today. Lots of debate going on, but some cool stuff. They advanced the causes of two servants of God that are real interesting. We're going to talk about those two gentlemen today.
And I'm going to also talk about the restrictions on water use this weekend across the area and what's causing that. And Archbishop Sample of Portland issued a statement with an update on the Archdiocese COVID response. So we have a great show ahead for you.
That's right. We're going to start off with Alab and Resurrection. And you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Your names are written in heaven. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. Rejoice, rejoice.
That is Alob with Resurrection. It's 7:09 here at Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life. Well, coming up, is it Aloysius or Aloysius? We'll find out from our man at Notre Dame right after the forecast.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
Join Mater Dei Radio and Brother Cyril, a Benedictine monk at Mount Angel Abbey, for the morning offering.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls, reparation for sin, and the reunion of all Christians. I offer them for the intentions of our bishops and of all apostles of prayer, and in particular, for those recommended by our Holy Father this month. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
For more prayer resources and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit materdeiradio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Ernesto's Italian Restaurant, a place to celebrate life's moments. Ernesto's offers full-service dining, banquet facilities for groups of 15 to 180, catering, takeout, and large order delivery, featuring traditional Italian dishes with Chef Marco's inspired modern entrees and weekly specials. Ernesto's Italian Restaurant, 8544 Southwest Apple Way on Beaverton Hillsdale Highway next to Jesuit High School.
June is the month the church dedicates to the most sacred heart of Jesus, and Mater Dei Radio is committed to praying for your intentions through our three daily broadcasts of the celebration of the Holy Mass, the sacred mysteries of the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and a wide variety of inspiring spiritual reflections. We also take your specific intentions to the most sacred heart of Jesus through Mater Dei Radio's prayer hotline. Let us know how our dedicated team can pray for you by going to materdeiradio.com or call the prayer hotline directly at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737. Or click the prayer button on top of the homepage at materdeiradio.com. Throughout the month of June, Mater Dei Radio will be praying for you as we lead souls into the most sacred heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
It is 7:13 on your sunny Friday morning. It's cool, but it's going to warm up to about 83 degrees today, then cooling down tonight into the mid-50s. Then your Saturday is looking very nice again. Highs in the mid-80s, sunny. And then Sunday, the heat shows up with a high about 93. And then even Monday, warmer, high of about 98.
Currently, it is 55 degrees at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church in Vancouver.
And it's 57 degrees at St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Portland.
Sometimes hilarious, always hilarious. It's Keeping Up with Ken Hilarious on Mater Dei Radio.
He is the host of Living Stones right here on Mater Dei Radio, Monday evenings at 7:30, along with Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. You can listen to their wise and great wisdom and knowledge of the Catholic faith. He's also our man at Notre Dame University in South Bend, Indiana. It is Ken Hilarious. Good morning, Ken. How are you today?
I am well, Brenda. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Now, we were going to have you do the temperature there, but we had the program on
I pushed the wrong button.
That's right. What's the temperature there in South Bend this morning?
It's 68, and we've already had a lovely rain and thunderstorm. So it's quite the day. It's going to be in the upper 80s.
So nice. With rain in the morning and the upper 80s by the afternoon, what's that humidity level going to be there?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever played a lot of football, Brenda, but it's just like being in the locker room after the big game.
Yeah, I would know nothing about
not
that.
It's not good. I will be spending a lot of time indoors where we have the conditioned air here.
Right, that's what we were just talking about, Aaron and I, in the show open about when he lived in Texas. What did he do to keep cool on those hot Texas days? And he said the same thing.
Hug that air conditioner.
Yeah. Don't move a lot and stay near that air conditioner. Kent, so now that graduation's happened, kids have gone home for the summer. What goes on at Notre Dame University during the summer months?
Yeah, so this summer we're actually kind of beginning to resume a lot of the conferences that take place. Some of the bigger ones are not going to be able to take place, but I've already seen a workshop in church communication happening in our building, and there are several gatherings that bring especially professionals to come in and do continuing education. So I work in the same building as the McGrath Institute for Church Life, and they do a lot of training for catechists and the kind of Catholic school teachers and, like I say, church communicators and things like that. So that's what happens a lot on campus during the summer, is these kind of camps. We, of course, host cheer camps and things like that as well, and football camps too, where students and football players will get to work with the actual Irish coaching staff. So a lot of those things happen throughout the summer.
Wow, it seems just as soon as you kind of close the chapter on one school year, preparations are underway there at Notre Dame for the next one. So thanks so much for that update. Well, Living Stones, Ken, it airs every Monday. And also coming up this Monday is a feast day. And I was a little bit concerned when we first brought up this topic because, you know, we bleed purple around here. We love our pilots, but it is the feast day of Aloysius Gonzaga.
Yeah, indeed. I'll be honest with you. Obviously, having spent 15 years at the University of Portland myself, I was a bit timid to want to talk about Aloysius Gonzaga, the saint. But on the other hand, think about it. All of these saints are our brothers and sisters in Christ, mm-hmm. who are models of living the Christian life. And I realized I knew nothing about the saint other than having seen his tomb on a visit to Rome. He is buried in the Church of San Ignatius, or Church of St. Ignatius, in the center of Rome, and I didn't know much about him. And so I thought, gosh, his feast day is coming up. What is there to know about Aloysius Gonzaga? And I'm going to tell you, the first most fascinating thing I learned was that Aloysius is the Latin version of Luigi. So
yes.
There's your main takeaway fact for the day, is that it's Luigi Gonzaga.
St. Luigi. Would you believe, Ken, that I actually have, he would be my great-grandfather, was Luigi Fabrizio. Fine man indeed.
Wow. Could not be any more Italian, could he?
I know, right?
And I know which character he would play in Mario Kart. I mean, that's the thing,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so Aloysius Gonzaga, he's buried at in St. Ignatius, it said, church in Rome.
Yeah.
So what does that say about him? He is Jesuit.
Yeah, he's Jesuit. Exactly right. So he was actually born an Italian aristocrat. He was the eldest son of a noble family in northern Italy near Mantua. And he was set to inherit the family name and the family title. And so he was trained as a young kid in the military arts of war and leadership, which actually is very similar to Ignatius of Loyola, who himself was a soldier as a young man. Young Aloysius received his first Holy Communion at age 12 from Cardinal Charles Borromeo, who was later saint and doctor, a great catechist and patron of catechists. He served in the court of the Medicis in Florence. So, I mean, he was in the high Italian Renaissance, and especially the Catholic Counter-Reformation. So this is the late 1500s. He was born in 1568. So after the Reformation has happened, you know, we're in the height of kind of Baroque Rome, and he grew ill. He was a very sickly child. He grew ill, and much like, again, Ignatius of Loyola before him, he, while he was bedridden, took to reading the lives of the saints, and he especially was inspired by reading the stories of the Jesuit missionaries to India, and he became convinced that he was called to become himself a missionary. This, as you might imagine, is the eldest son of a noble family, was not exactly what dad and mom wanted to hear. They're
right.
Like, we're training you to inherit the family name and to be great and to carry on this great tradition of our family. But he persisted, and he petitioned the emperor to allow him to renounce his inheritance. And the emperor agreed. And then he petitioned the Pope, Pope Sixtus V, not a saint, but Pope Sixtus V, for permission to enter the Jesuits. And he received that permission. So he became a Jesuit in 1585. So this is very early in the history of the Jesuits. And he was a very young man. He was 17 when he entered.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was convinced that he had this vocation, and the church agreed, right? I mean, that's kind of part of especially discerning a vocation of the priesthood or religious life. It's not just I decide. It's I believe I'm called to this, and the church helps discern. And in this case, both the Jesuits and the Holy Father himself helped him discern that indeed he was called to this religious life. As a Jesuit, especially as a young Jesuit in formation, he was very ascetic. He lived quite the disciplined life, and his superiors said, you need to tone that down. You need to be a little more human. You need to hang out with your fellow seminarians a little more. So I think there's a lot for us to learn about that. Is we may have great passion, but we also need to have a passion that is combined with charity and combined with living the Christian life in concert with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he, of course, is actually the patron of students, of
right.
seminarians.
Yeah,
of young
Ken, I was going to ask you about that. We know that all of our saints, yeah. they have special patronages, that we can look to them for prayer and support and intercession. So why would we look to, you know, why would we ask the prayers of Saint Aloysius?
Yeah, primarily because he was a very focused student, but even though his natural tendency was to be, you know, very focused, he listened to the advice of his teachers and his superiors in embracing charity towards his brothers and sisters around him, especially towards his fellow students, his fellow seminarians. But then in 1591, plague hit Rome, and the Jesuits opened a hospital, and all of the brothers pitched in to help, including this sickly young man himself, Aloysius Gonzaga, Luigi, and he helped the patients. He himself contracted the plague, and in 1591, on June 21st, he actually died of the plague. And so another one of his patronages is plague victims, and especially in the 80s and 90s, the 1980s and 90s, he was recognized as the patron of AIDS victims as well, because, you know, it's a great affliction that he approached with charity and care. And so that's really what we look to St. Aloysius Gonzaga as, this great model of Christian charity.
Ken Hellenius joining us this morning as we learn a little bit more about St. Aloysius Gonzaga, whose feast day is coming up on Monday. Well, Ken, it is always a good morning when we get to talk. You are a wealth of information, and we appreciate your time so much. And Ken, let me just say, here at Mater Dei Radio, we are a family. We support each other and pray for each other. And I just wanted to let you know we will pray for you this weekend. It is Father's Day. It's going to be the first Father's Day you'll celebrate with your Father who is in heaven this year. Oh, we just want to lift you up and know that you are in our prayers and thoughts.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very conscious of that, and especially for everybody who is missing a father this year. We can thank God that we have the model of the Heavenly Father, who our own dads are just kind of like God in a way, and that's our goal. So thank you so much for the prayers, and I promise my prayers for every listener who themselves is facing this year with a loss too. Thank you.
Oh, we love you so much, Ken. Thank you so much for your time today. It was great talking to you. God bless you.
You too, and St. Aloysius, pray for us.
Amen. It's 7:24 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, if Ken Hellenius is your man in Notre Dame, you can head over to Mater Dei Radio and listen to his show, Living Stones, or all of his interviews, because he joins the Morning Blend here almost every other week. All of our podcasts, all of our interviews and shows are made into podcasts, and you can listen to them on our website at materdeiradio.com. Just go to the programming page, and you can select by the show, or just scroll down from the very top, and you'll see the most recent ones that we've produced. Those are our podcasts on our website at materdeiradio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco, family dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including True North Retirement Advisors, a clear path to financial freedom. With decades of experience, True North Retirement Advisors helps business owners exit their business and retire with financial security. Information on how to get started with the business exit strategy plan and scheduling a no-cost consultation is available online at TrueNorthRetirementAdvisors.com.
What's your next mission from God? You do have one. We all do. God has something in mind for us right where we are. This is Julie Ondurko. Please join me on Your Next Mission from God, where the saints show us just how it's done. They've been through it, and sometimes they even got it wrong before they got it right.
Listen to Your Next Mission from God, Saturday mornings at 7:15 and Sunday mornings at 8:15, right here on the bridge between your faith and everyday life. Mater Dei Radio.
They're not baristas, but they do serve up a good cup of joy. It's the Morning Blend with David and Brenda on Mater Dei Radio.
And it is 7:27 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, as the heat turns up this weekend, Oregonians are asked to limit water use. Very interesting developments happening right now.
And the U.S. bishops voted to advance the causes of canonization for two servants of God. We'll tell you who they are coming up in your news right after this. It's Answers by Katie Hurst, and you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
What about all the earthquakes, fires, and hurricanes? Why does it keep on storming when you could stop the rain? I want the answers. What about all the sickness medicine can't solve? What about all the cancer? You could heal it all. I want the answers. You know my questions. You know the orphans, praying for a home. I know you're the good, good father, but why are they alone? I want the answers. And what about all the churches filled with fire and hate? How do you let them stand up and preach it in?
Answers by Katie Hurst. It's 7:30 at Mater Dei Radio.
And in your news, Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend the state's chlorine supply. A major electrical failure at a chlorine manufacturer in Longview, Washington, has created a critical chlorine shortage in Oregon that could affect the state's water supply, the Oregon Office of Emergency Management announced Thursday. Officials stress that Oregon's tap water remains clean and safe to drink, and the public may continue to regularly use water for drinking, cooking, and bathing. State officials don't expect any immediate changes to the water quality, but they will be monitoring potential changes. They will also be looking into alternatives to chlorine for disinfecting water, and Oregonians are asked to limit outdoor water use for things like watering lawns and filling swimming pools to extend the state's chlorine supply. Yeah. Boy, this came in quite suddenly. So they went right ahead and announced this. So just do those things that you can to limit. Now, for somebody like me, I do have a lot of plants. It's going to be very, very hot. Yeah. So a great suggestion, and this is something that I learned from my mother in Southern California, is she would put one of those big buckets, a gallon, or paint bucket or something like that, that's kind of big in plastic, in the bathroom. As she would get ready for her shower, she would capture the cold water, running through the pipes before the hot water came. Mm-hmm. And then she'd use that water and carry it downstairs and water some of her plants. Wow. Yeah. So that's one way that you're going to be able to, maintain that. But we're going to try to do our best to conserve and then get an update for you.
One of the things from Texas was you never watered in the middle of the afternoon.
That's
right.
At the
end of the day, because it just
evaporates.
So water in the mornings and the evenings when it's cooler and it's going to do something.
All right. So keep those things in mind.
The U.S. bishops held extensive debate Thursday before voting on whether to draft a teaching document on the Eucharist at their annual spring meeting held virtually this week. While the text of a proposed Eucharistic document has not yet been drafted, an outline was provided by the Bishops' Doctrine Committee in advance of the meeting this week. The document, if approved, would explain the Church's Eucharistic teaching on a number of points, including the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the importance of Sunday as a holy day, and the need for Catholics to live out the Church's teaching in their lives after receiving communion. Bishops supporting the vote to draft a document on the Eucharist cited the need for providing clarity and catechesis on the matter, citing polls showing a lack of belief in the real presence among Catholics. They argued that all Catholics, including Catholic politicians, must be aware of the Church's teaching on worthiness to receive communion. Other bishops opposed the move to draft such a document. Some argued that in addressing worthiness to receive communion, especially among pro-abortion Catholic politicians, the bishops would be seen as partisan actors. Archbishop Paul Achin of Seattle expressed concern that the Eucharist is, quote, the source of our life and charity and unity is now enmeshed in a conversation about politics, and that's a very difficult place for us to be. Yet some bishops disputed that a document outlining church teaching would bring about disunity. Bishop Thomas Daly of Spokane said that we can't have unity if we're not rooted in truth. He responded to bishops' calls to wait on considering the document until they can dialogue with each other and with politicians, saying, "This call for dialogue, sometimes I wonder if the dialogue is meant not truly to listen, but to delay. All of us want what's best for the people we serve," Bishop Daly said, pointing to the salvation of souls. The vote on going forward with this document on the Eucharist takes place today.
Archbishop Alexander Sample of Portland released a statement on the reopening of Oregon and the return to Holy Mass. In part, it reads, "As Oregon continues to reopen, I encourage all the faithful to return to Holy Mass and begin to engage more fully in the life of the church. The dispensation from the obligation to attend Holy Mass on Sundays and solemnities remains in effect for all those who are vulnerable, sick, or have grave fears about contracting the virus. I ask those who make use of the dispensation to honor the Lord in another way that day by watching a live stream Mass, praying the rosary as a family, reading sacred scripture, or otherwise setting aside time to be with the Lord." In clarification from the Office of Divine Worship, this statement is not ending the dispensation to attend Sunday Mass and holy days of obligation for the Archdiocese of Portland. And members of the Portland Police Bureau's Rapid Response Team, which has responded to civil unrest in the city over the past year, have left their voluntary positions on the team. All of the officers, sergeants, and detectives who were on the Rapid Response Team account for roughly 50 members, met on Wednesday and voted to resign, the Bureau said. Despite not serving on the RRT, they are still sworn Portland Police Bureau members and will continue with their regular assignments. The move to disband their own team came a day after a team member was indicted. He is accused of fourth-degree assault stemming from a baton strike against a photojournalist last summer.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States decided unanimously in favor of Catholic Social Services in its lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia, ruling that the city violated the group's free exercise of religion. In 2018, the city of Philadelphia stopped partnering with the agency in its foster care program since Catholic Social Services would not certify same-sex couples as foster parents on religious grounds. The case, Fulton versus City of Philadelphia, concerns the city of Pennsylvania ending its foster care contracts with CCS because the faith-based agency said it would not certify those couples to be foster parents. The agency's policy is religious due to the church's teaching on marriage and family. The agency does not certify unmarried couples as foster parents, regardless of their sexual orientation. The city of Philadelphia argued that the policy constituted discrimination according to its non-discrimination ordinance and would no longer work with the group. Then two foster mothers who worked with the agency, Sharon Fulton and Tony Sims Birch, sued Philadelphia, arguing that ending the contracts, the city violated the agency's First Amendment right to religious freedom. In the ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote, quote, "The refusal of Philadelphia to contract with CSS for the provision of foster care services, unless CCS agrees to certify same-sex couples as foster parents, violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. CSS seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the children of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. CSS does not seek to impose their beliefs on anyone else." Beckett, a religious liberty law firm representing the foster moms and Catholic Social Services in the case, stated, "This is a huge victory for heroic foster moms and for religious freedom. It ensures that religious groups like Catholic Social Services, who serve kids regardless of their race, religion, sex, or sexual orientation, can continue their work."
And in sports, once again, the U.S. Olympic trials for track and field have landed at Hayward Field in Eugene and begins at noon today. It is the fourth consecutive time the University of Oregon's track stadium has staged the sports Olympic qualifying meet, but much has changed over the last 5 years since the last U.S. trials in 2016. The new Hayward Field, which has shed its historic label in a complete remake, said to cost more than $200 million. Wow. Rising vaccination and dropping infection rates in Oregon also means that approximately 9,000 fans will be allowed inside the 12,650-seat stadium. Now, former U of O pole vaulter Cole Wash says Eugene is the only place I have really found track fans. So exciting. I know that it'll be a great and beautiful weekend. So best of luck to all of those competing this weekend.
The U.S. bishops voted yesterday to advance two causes of canonization, one for Father Joseph LaFleur, a World War II military chaplain, and the other for Marinus LaRue, a merchant mariner who became a Benedictine monk. Father LaFleur is most remembered for his heroic service during World War II. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Lafayette in 1938 and requested to be a military chaplain just before the outbreak of the Second World War. He was deployed to the Philippines and spent nearly 2.5 years as a prisoner of war of the Japanese. Father LaFleur's nephew, Richard LaFleur, told CNA that men in prison camps with Father LaFleur testified that his character caused the conversion of about 200 men to Catholicism while in prison camps. Father LaFleur ended up on a Japanese ship with other POWs that was torpedoed unwittingly by an American submarine that did not realize the ship was carrying prisoners of war. He was last seen helping men out of the hull of the sinking ship, for which he was posthumously awarded the Purple Heart and a Bronze Star and the Distinguished Service Cross twice for his acts as a POW. Father LaFleur's body was never found, but a shrine and monument exist at St. Landry Catholic Church, where he grew up. Brother Marinus LaRue was also involved in military efforts during wartime, serving as a U.S. Merchant Marine captain during the Korean War. LaRue was tasked with delivering supplies to a port in North Korea where hundreds of thousands of soldiers and refugees were searching for safety from advancing communist forces. Arriving before Christmas, LaRue came to discover the multitudes of people awaiting help, and he chose to unload all of the ship's weapons and supplies in order to provide space for as many refugees as possible. LaRue's ship, the USS Meredith Victory, which was designed to serve around 50 passengers, sailed away from the coast with 14,000 refugees on board. LaRue later discerned a religious vocation and entered St. Paul's Benedictine Abbey in New Jersey, taking the name Brother Marinus in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Brother Marinus lived a humble life, dishwashing, working in a gift shop, and serving his brother monks, and he died October 14th, 2001. Both of these men are now servants of God, and their cause continues.
Wow, fantastic.
It's time to find out what's going on in our Catholic community.
And coming up tomorrow, beginning at 7 p.m., is Nocturnal Adoration at Holy Rosary Church in Portland. Join Nocturnal Adoration Society members from all over the Portland metro area in this time of prayer before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, beginning with the Rosary at 7 p.m., then antiphonal prayer and readings until about 8:30. And remember, you can find details on these and other events. Just head on over to our community calendar under the Get Involved menu at MaterDayRadio.com.
Well, you may know him as Jerusalem Jones. Up next, we're going to talk to Steve Ray about fathers, daughters, and sons in the Bible. That's after your forecast.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including University of Portland, dedicated to excellence and innovation in the classroom. Ranked as one of the top colleges in the West by U.S. News & World Report, the University of Portland is home to robust undergraduate and graduate programs in its colleges of arts and sciences and its schools of business, education, engineering, and nursing. Learn more at up.edu.
Hi, I'm Father Jeff Irvin, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Portland. Join Mater Dei Radio and the Archdiocese of Portland Office of Vocations as we unite in prayer for our seminarians. Lord Jesus, as you once called the first disciples to make them fishers of men, let your sweet invitation continue to resound. Come, follow me. We thank you for the gift of these seminarians called to serve in the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon. Inspire them to imitate you, the eternal High Priest, in sacrificial service to your church. Grant perseverance to our seminarians. Give them the graces they need to one day serve you faithfully as priests. May your light shine through them to everyone they meet. Mary, Mother of the Church, the model of every vocation, help our seminarians to continue to say yes to the Lord, who calls us to cooperate in the divine plan of salvation. Amen.
For more prayer resources and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit MatreDayRadio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Best Buy in Town Landscape Supply. Since 1984, Best Buy in Town has been supplying the area with landscape products and services, including bark dust blowing, rock, soil, sod, and recycler of yard debris. Located at 2200 Cornelius Pass Road in Hillsboro. Online at bestbuybark.com or 503-645-6665.
A great way to support Mater Dei Radio is through our Leadership Circle. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs of faith and hope. Simply put, our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. If you run a business or organization, please join us. We need you. Information on our Leadership Circle at materdeiradio.com.
7:44 here at Mater Dei Radio. Your clear and cool morning is going to give way to a sunny and warm day with a high near 83. Cooling tonight down to the mid-50s, then Saturday looking to be like a repeat of today. Sunny with a high in the mid-80s. The heat shows up Sunday, getting up to about 93 degrees, and then your Monday looking even warmer, up to a high of about 98.
It is 59 degrees at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Newburg.
And it's 56 degrees at Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Cottage Grove.
Father's Day is this weekend, and it's a great day to let dear old dad know how much he means to you. But how did your dad's influence and direction guide you? Well, down some difficult paths in your own life. And do you think it is harder to be a dad now than perhaps during ancient times? Well, joining me today to share more is our good friend, Steve Ray. Steve would know quite a bit about how fathers raised their children in biblical times. And as a father himself, he knows what it takes now. Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Morning Blend.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here and glad to talk about dads, which is one of my favorite things to be.
Steve, from the time of creation, we've known our Father, both heavenly and our earthly ones. So do you think the expectation of the role of a father in the lives of his children have changed throughout society?
Well, society, it's always changed. The role of God the Father has never changed because he is not only referred to as Father, not because if he's the start of the whole universe, but the source of the Trinity, actually. And he is the source of everything. He never changes. But the role of fathers on the earth, I think, does change over time. And I'm just writing a commentary on the book of Genesis. In fact, I'm going to finish it up this week, and it'll be published by Ignatius Press. And fathers back in those days, it was patriarchal times. The father was the boss. He was like the king of the family. And even at the day of Pentecost, when the men came forward, families came forward to believe in Jesus Christ, if the father said we're going to be Christians, everybody became Christian in the family. Today, I think it's a lot different because in our Western society, many fathers are absent. There's divorces, there's all kinds of problems, and fathers play a much less of a role, I think, in families today. And that's to the great detriment of the family, as I'm sure we'll talk about here in just a minute.
Well, Steve, let's start here then. You've raised sons and you've raised daughter. Do you feel that the role you play and the values that you teach is different depending on if you're talking to your sons and talking to your daughters?
Yes and no. I have one son and three daughters. My oldest daughter is 43. My youngest child daughter is now 30. And we have 19 grandkids. We just got the announcement number 19 is on the way. So I have done this a little bit. I learned everything the hard way, of course. I started out as an evangelical Protestant and became a Catholic only 27 years ago. But with fathers and daughters, it is the same. The father sets the tone. The father sets the standards, the morals. And so for both, it's the same. He sets the structure, and he should set the discipline in the home, the strength for the family. But I think at the same time, for sons and daughters, it is, while the same, it's also different. because, for example, the father for the son has to be a strong example of what a man is, because the boy is going to look for manly models, a model for what it is to be a man and to grow up. And if the dad is there and he's a good model and he's strong and he's loving and he's firm, and this is what the son will look to. If the father's not there, of course, he's going to look to drug dealers and all the other very bad role models. A daughter, on the same hand, she's looking for someone who's going to love and appreciate her, someone who's going to tell her she's beautiful. A girl needs a man, her father, to be the man figure in her life, and if he's absent, she's going to go look for a substitute, and usually it's not a good one. Fathers have this. Mothers are important in the family. Don't ever get me wrong, but in our experience, the absence of a father is devastating to a family. The girl does not have a role model, the man to love her. I remember even with my daughters, as they grew up, I made a point of telling them how beautiful they were, how much I loved them. I was the strong male figure in their life. I would hug them. I'd give them a kiss on the cheek, and I'd let them know how beautiful they were. So they didn't feel like they had to go out and find somebody else to approve of them. And for my son, I took him on camping trips, and we did manly things together so that he had a model and a role model for what a man should be and what a husband should be. I would say that my wife and I were both very fortunate because we both had very good, loving, strong, forgiving, helpful, firm fathers. So it was very easy for us when we got married to know what a father should be. We both had experienced it. There's a lot of families today that's not the case, that they did not have a good role model. And it's a sad state of affairs then, because then it throws people off balance, kids off balance, and they don't know when they get married, or many are not getting married today. The great percentage of young men and women are not getting married today, unfortunately, probably because they've had bad family experiences. So the father plays such an important role for both sons and daughters. It's inestimable.
Jerusalem Jones joining me today. You probably know him as our good friend Steve Ray. He is joining me because we are celebrating fathers. Steve, I want to touch on something that you said, and especially about the roles of fathers. It seemed like if we open up scripture and we look, it was very clear. The father imparting the blessing on the oldest son, their roles, the way that they led their families, very direct. Today, we see fathers trying to do the same thing, being very direct. And the pushback is, oh, that's toxic. Oh, it's misogynistic. It's all of these words that at one point was a good thing to be. Are we losing our way as to how fathers are supposed to be, especially for their sons and daughters as role models?
We've not only are losing it, we've lost it.
Mm.
I think that when you look into the Orthodox Christian, strong Catholic, even evangelical families that believe still in scripture and what the father should be, we're the minority now. We're kind of the radical minority. We have become the despised subculture in a way. The whole movement of feminism and secularism away from biblical Catholic Christianity has made men look like buffoons. They are joked about. To try to think of a TV show. We don't watch TV. And by the way, what the best thing a father can do for his kids is to love their mother. That's number one. And number two is get rid of the television.
I agree.
My dad did not get us a television. I never had a television for my kids, and none of my grandkids have television now. And they watch movies together. We have TVs, but they're not hooked to local or cable or anything else. We watch good old movies. You know, the great old movies and series that are fun and moral and wonderful for kids and families to watch. But the whole idea of television now is to make men look like buffoons. They try to feminize them. You could never today have a movie called Father Knows Best.
Oh.
Those series. You could never have a movie where the father is a strong and manly figure, because that goes contrary to our feminist culture today. It's just gone insane. It is absolutely insane. And what it's going to do to the family is an inestimable damage.
Well, one thing I know for sure, Steve, is the only way to strong heads of the household is to follow the true Father, and that is our Heavenly Father, God in heaven. Steve, I want to ask you some more questions, especially about some of the relationships between fathers and their children in the Bible, but I am coming up against my break. Can you stay with me so
sure.
we can continue our discussion? Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
It is 7:53 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, throw out the TV and support Catholic Radio by going to our website, materdeiradio.com. Under the Get Involved menu, you'll find all the ways that you can support us. And one of those is by getting rid of that old clunker that's sitting in your garage collecting dust. Go to our vehicle donation program and you'll see all the details. It's a likely tax deduction for you, and you'll be supporting great Catholic programming on the radio. Again, that is our vehicle donation program on our website at materdeiradio.com.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including the Blanchet House of Hospitality. Since 1952, the Blanchet House has been providing food, clothing, shelter, and aid to those in need. Services include a downtown Portland cafe, residential living, transitional housing, case management, and a 12-step program at the farm. Support and volunteer opportunities are online at blanchethouse.org.
The bridge between your faith and everyday life. This is Mater Dei Radio. KBBM Portland, Salem, Vancouver. KMME Cottage Grove, Eugene, Springfield. Translator K235BF, Eugene. And streaming at materdeiradio.com.
This is the saint of the day for June 18th from the Franciscans and St. Anthony Messenger Press. Today, we celebrate Venerable Matt Talbot. Matt is the patron of men and women struggling with alcoholism. Though he eventually stopped drinking, staying sober meant heroic struggle. Born in Dublin, Matt left school early to earn an income. He obtained work as a messenger for some liquor merchants. He began to drink excessively. For 15 years until he was 30, Matt was an active alcoholic. He came to see that total abstinence was the only solution. He decided to take the pledge for 3 months, make a general confession, and attend daily Mass. Avoiding his former drinking places was hard. He prayed as intensely as he used to drink. He also tried to pay back people from whom he had borrowed or stolen money in his drinking days. While working as a laborer, Matt joined the secular Franciscan order. He began a life of strict penance. He spent hours every night reading scripture and the lives of the saints. He prayed the rosary. Though his job did not make him rich, he contributed generously to the missions. Finally, his health failed, and Matt was forced to quit work. He died in 1925 on his way to church. It was Trinity Sunday. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, franciscanradio.org. From the Franciscans and St. Anthony Messenger Press, this is Saint of the Day.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from our Leadership Circle members, including Dr. Mark Bianco, family dentist. Dr. Bianco practices family dentistry in the neighborhood of 122nd Avenue and Stark Street in Southeast Portland. Dr. Bianco Family Dentist, online at biancodentistry.com or 503-252-1722. That's 503-252-1722.
Days are getting longer and the weather is starting to warm up. If you're like me, this time of year means you can get out the grill and enjoy some time with the family. Did you know that you can support Mater Dei Radio through everyday purchases when you shop for the cause? Whether it's purchases online through Amazon or groceries at Fred Meyer, you can help strengthen Catholic Radio. For details, check out ways to give at materdeiradio.com, the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Want an eye-opener in the morning without the caffeine? It's the Morning Blend with David and Brenda on Mater Dei Radio.
7:57 here at Mater Dei Radio. Well, it's a new national holiday, and government and state offices scramble to close today. I'll tell you who's open and who's not.
And the relics of a Polish saint were returned after being stolen to their parish personally. We'll get into the by the thief personally. We'll get into those details coming up right after this. It's Chris Bray and In the Name, and you're listening to Mater Dei Radio, leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
gather in your name. We've come, your Lord, to pray. Oh, lead us, feed us, God, we know you seek us. Conform us to your way. Won't you set us on fire? Your grace, your presence in this place. Oh, feed us, sustain us, bread of life within us. Transform us to your way. Won't you set us on fire?
Chris Bray and In the Name.